Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung. Welcome to Prophecy Today. I'm not at Broadcast Central in Chattanooga, but instead I'm in Wilkes-Barre, North Carolina, going home the day before Thanksgiving, so we'll have that time with our family. Hope you indeed have that same time with your family. But these couple of days, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of this next week, we're going to be at the Community Baptist Church in Wilkes-Barre, North Carolina. Pastor Charles Whipple is going to be the one inviting you to come join us as we study Bible prophecy. Sunday at 10:30 in the morning, the first session, 6 o'clock for Q&A, 7 o'clock for the evening teaching service, and then Monday and Tuesday the same as Sunday. Love to have you come and study the prophetic word of God with us. That's the Community Baptist Church there in North Wilkes-Barre, North Carolina. I want you to stay tuned because David Dolan's standing by with a Middle East news update. Boy, some exciting things happening there. You need to understand what is actually going on between Saudi Arabia and Israel. Winky Medad is going to talk about 1 million Jews in the Jewish settlements. And then Dr. Rob Congdon with his European Union update. We're going to find out how the Muslims are in, the Jews are out in France. Don DeYoung, he's a scientist and an astronomer, and he is going to tell us about the closest planet, only 11 light years away. That's a long ways away, my dear friend. But he doesn't think it's inhabitable, which the scientists are saying they do think. And then we're going to talk about aliens in outer space and how some prophecy teachers are speaking on this subject, saying they have had contact with some of these aliens. We're going to find out that is false teaching. David James, boy, this is a sobering report. Paganism going on in the Washington Mall in Washington, D.C. That's my conversation with David James. So keep it all right here at Prophecy Today. Give us 90 minutes. We'll give you the world. And we go right now to Ken Timmerman on the catbird seat in Washington, D.C., back from southern France. Glad you got back safely, Ken, but let me get this main story into your thinking and out of what you're going to tell us. King Salman, who is the king today now I'm talking about, of Saudi Arabia. But his crown prince son, Mohammed bin Salman, is on the way to becoming king probably within the next week. And this young man in his 30s going to take over a very powerful nation in this world. What are your thoughts with this report coming in?
Well, an extraordinary story, Jimmy. And as they say, according to the London Daily Mail, who is quoting a source in the royal family in Saudi Arabia, this is going to take place imminently. So we will know one way or another whether the report is true. Let's assume for the moment that it is true. A 32-year-old crown prince who has muscled his way up to the top. His father, King Salman, is 91 in ill health. He said to want to retire from the kingship and retain only the title of custodian of the two holy mosques, because the king of Saudi Arabia has two titles. He's the king of Saudi Arabia and the custodian of the two holy mosques. That would separate the temporal and spiritual authorities in the kingship, which is very interesting. King Salman's son, Mohammed, has put Iran front and center on his agenda. There are reports that he is hoping to work with Israel, that he has a back channel to Israel to coordinate a war against Iran. The Israeli chief of staff just this week has said publicly in an interview that Israel is not itching for a fight with Iran in Lebanon. They don't want to have another war with Hezbollah in Lebanon, because that's what this would mean, a 1-2 punch, Israel attacking Hezbollah in Lebanon and Saudi Arabia attacking Iran directly or in Yemen. But at any rate, it means a younger generation is coming to power in Saudi Arabia, a very, very different generation, far less conservative from his father, much more adventurous. Mohammed bin Salman has been leading the war effort in Yemen, has not been a great success, the war effort in Yemen. And let's not forget, he also rounded up 500 of his potential enemies and is now, including multi-billionaires, and now they are sleeping on cots in the lobby of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Riyadh. This is a momentous event. It is highly unusual. It amounts to a palace coup, but without a shot being fired.
You know, that's interesting because that's how you concluded last week's conversation. This is an unbelievable report that's going on. And I've got a report. We're going to check on some of our other broadcast partners to help us out on this, that there was a secret meeting between the Crown Prince and the leaders of Israel back in September, which could fit into this scenario should it all be true. Someone has reported that if Lebanon falls, it would be Iran's gain. Do you think that is the case, or would this set Saudi Arabia and Israel in good stead?
Well, it depends on what we mean by Lebanon falls. If you mean that the central government falls apart, which is entirely possible with the resignation of Saad Hariri, the prime minister, then what is most likely to happen is that Hezbollah would take over. And who is supporting Hezbollah? It's Iran. So Lebanon would openly then become an Iranian province. This is something that Israel does not want to see happen. Again, the Israeli chief of staff in his interview this week said that Iran is moving through two Shiite crescents, one through Iraq and the second through Syria to Lebanon. Israel does not want to see those two join, although, you know, we have been talking about this land bridge through Syria to Lebanon to Iran that the Iranians have been seeking to build. They have accomplished it already. So Israel is really facing a fait accompli. Iran is already on its borders through Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon. The question is, will the Israelis now feel that they have to take the first step, the first move against Hezbollah and Iran, or will they wait until the situation in Lebanon disintegrates, which is entirely possible, and then see what Hezbollah does?
Well, this may be a motivating factor, Ken. Iran, it is reported, has 13 military bases and tens of thousands of soldiers on the ground in Syria. Going to be pretty tough to remove that military force, especially in Syria at Israel's northern border.
Well, the Israelis have dealt with far worse, with the PLO in Lebanon, who had, you know, many, many times more bases and men than that. But the Iranians are hardened fighters. They're not slouches. They are well-equipped. They're pretty well-trained now through the war in Syria. And the very notion that they've got 13 military bases in Syria, if I were an Israeli commander today, I would be not very comfortable, and I would be trying to find ways that I could sabotage or destroy those bases before they become 26 or 30 bases.
Absolutely, that is for sure. And I think they probably most likely in Tel Aviv at their IDF headquarters are thinking that scenario through. You know, we've talked about the Kurds being in not only Iraq, Iran, Turkey, but in Syria as well. And the Kurdish party there in Syria is wanting the United States to get more active in this civil war in Syria, come in and spend some time and help them out. Do you think America is going to get involved in Syria again?
Well, good question. And remember, Donald Trump ran for president saying he was not going to get in foreign entanglements the way his predecessors had done. He did not see a strategic reason for the United States to be engaged in Syria. He did not want us to return troops to Iraq. He was willing to fight against ISIS and to destroy ISIS, but he drew the line at that. We're going to see. The Kurds clearly want the U.S. on their side. They clearly want some kind of U.S. presence behind them, because the Kurds in Syria are about to get quashed, absolutely crushed, between Turkey and the Syrian state backed by Iran. Iran and Turkey are absolutely determined to crush the Kurds wherever they can. They've already crushed them in northern Iraq, in the KRG. We've spoken about that in recent weeks. That was an operation by Iran and Turkey. Now they're hoping to crush them in northern Syria, and the Kurds have already lost territory to the Syrian army backed by the Iranians, and now there's talk of a new offensive to take back all of those areas that actually have been under self-rule by the Kurds since approximately 2012. So the Kurds are hoping to drag us in, to have us as their allies, which we are, but to have us help them to maintain their control of the territory. I happen to think that that's in a U.S. national interest. You know, I think the president, if he believes that, would have to make the argument to the American people.
Yeah, I wish you were an advisor to President Trump, more inside the circle than others are who are advising a different way. Well, let's change our focus from the Middle East to the Far East. North Korea says they have sentenced in absentia President Trump because he went after their leader. He called him a little short, fat man, rocket man, and everything else. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. It's simply propaganda, is it not?
Well, aren't they so cute? I mean, they always try to find something to keep the cartoon channel in business here. No, it doesn't mean anything, and sentencing Trump to death for insulting Kim Jong-un is just another folly on the part of this foolish leadership in North Korea. The significant thing is that since President Trump met with the Chinese leadership and put the squeeze on them to go deal with the North Koreans, the Chinese have sent a very high-level emissary to Pyongyang to basically read the riot act to the dictator and tell him he'd better stop testing his missiles and not be quite so boisterous about his nuclear weapons capabilities, or else. I'm not sure what the "or else" contained in that message from the Chinese, but the Chinese have got great leverage over North Korea. President Trump has been saying that ever since the presidential campaign, and now it seems that Trump succeeded in getting the Chinese to finally use that leverage against North Korea. So they're backing down, and this is just a little comic strip action along the fringes.
Yeah, very interesting developments in the Far East, and we'll stay on top of that story with the man who covers all of the geopolitical activities around the world, Ken Timmerman. He's back home on the Catbird Seat in Washington, D.C. Great report, Ken. Appreciate it so much. Glad you got back safely. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Always a pleasure. God bless.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, David Dolan's standing by. He's got a very, very unbelievable report on his Middle East news update. You don't want to miss it. It's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.